Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Michael Cohen here, producer Desi Simmons. The number of Michigan households led by same-sex couples has increased by over 40% in the last 10 years here in Michigan, according to newly released census data. With a growing population of gay and lesbians, state residents here, are Lansing lawmakers likely to become more responsive to these constituents? To discuss that, I'm joined by Denise Brogan-Cater. She is the executive director of Equality Michigan. Welcome to the program, Denise.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, a sharp increase in same-sex couple households in a 10-year period that saw a drop in population in the state, is that an indication that gays and lesbians are becoming more accepted in the state?
Well, it's hard to compare the numbers because the methodologies that were used by the Census Department varied over the periods, and so the numbers aren't necessarily directly comparable, and we can't necessarily say that it equals a 42% increase, for example. Having said that, I think that it is very clear that the numbers, the increase is legitimate, is real. The change in methodologies wasn't so drastic as to account for this large of a shift between the censuses. So I do think that, yes, the numbers are explainable from a couple of perspectives. I think first, it's very clear that the government itself, for the first time, did outreach to the gay and transgender community to solicit them in responding to this census and to try and allay their fears somewhat around coming out to a government agency about being gay. And secondly, the gay and transgender community itself, as we have in the past, but made an extra special effort to outreach and get people to fill out their census forms this past year as well. So I think those two things add to it. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I think it's absolutely clear, especially here in Michigan, that there is a greater sense of acceptance and awareness in the state. We've recently seen poll studies that would suggest that something like 65% of Michiganders now support anti-discrimination laws that protect mm-hmm. Michigan people from being fired on the basis of their sexual orientation, for example, or denied housing.
Now, when it comes to the residents being more accepting, it doesn't appear, at least from your perspective, that that's the same for state legislators. You said that lawmakers have been growing, quote, increasingly hostile and have been working to deny gay and lesbian residents basic opportunities. How have legislators been doing that?
Well, we've seen a couple of things that they've done recently. Recently, the state agency that I apologize that in this moment right now I've lost the name of the state agency, but the state agency that determines benefits and salaries for state employees determined that in order to honor a 2004 negotiated contract with the state unions, state employee unions, offered health care benefits to unmarried partners of state employees.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter whether those unmarried partners were same-sex or opposite-sex. Clearly, because opposite-sex couples have the opportunity in Michigan to get married and same-sex couples do not have that opportunity, it disproportionately affects same-sex couples, but it was designed and written clearly to meet our Supreme Court's rules around mm-hmm. gay marriage ban. So what I think is that what happened is the legislature then said, well, you know, we don't want to support this, and the Senate, by a two-thirds majority, voted to overturn that. Fortunately, it died in the House.
Republican legislators said at the time that that was due to the fact the state simply couldn't afford to provide these kinds of benefits at this time.
Well, I think that goes contrary to the facts. I think if you look at the if you look at the size of the state budget and you look at the size of these benefits, you know, you don't say you can't afford to offer health care to your employees and to their families and children. That's just a cost of doing business for any employer nowadays, and is the cost of doing business for the state. Go ahead.
Well, your sense then that they took this action on personal or moral grounds of some sort?
I think they very clearly did that. I don't know that I would call it moral grounds, because I don't think there's anything immoral with being who we are. But I think they definitely did it for personal or political reasons.
Equality Michigan estimates there are about 287,000 gay and transgendered adults currently living in Michigan. When it comes to harassment and crimes against them, how prevalent of a problem has that been recently?
Well, it has been a big problem. Just in the month of July, we saw a huge number of actual violent assaults against gay and transgender citizens all across the state, whether it was in the western part of the state, or it was in the Detroit metro area, or it was in the middle part of the state. It's just we've had over half a dozen violent assaults, never mind the ordinary types of discrimination and sort of nonviolent assaults that we get every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big problem in Michigan.
I'm talking to Denise Brogan-Cater. She's the executive director of Equality Michigan. Now, Denise, your organization has been pushing to include the protection of gays, bisexuals, and the transgendered in the state's civil rights law. What kind of responses have you been getting from lawmakers in this effort?
Well, it's been an ongoing effort for a number of years, and that's a bit of a frustration for us. And we are. Redoubling our efforts even now. So far, we have not had a lot of success. There are some leaders in both chambers that have stepped forward and said we need to provide certain basic protections. Some of it is around anti-bullying. For example, our children, instead of protecting all of our children against bullying, there have been a number of lawmakers that have said the anti-bullying bill should not include sexual orientation or gender identity. It should not list specific categories that are historically problematic when it comes to bullying, but should be some blanket sort of protection, which has the effect really of providing no protection at all. So that's one area.
Do you think then that when it comes to bullying, that sexual orientation is a primary factor in that?
I think that sexual orientation, and I think it's been proven out by study after study, sexual orientation is probably the second greatest incident, second greatest reason that is reported for reasons of bullying, right behind physical appearance. And sometimes physical appearance is a gender identity or gender expression motive, as it turns out anyway.
In your sense, when it comes to whether they're Democrats or Republicans, have the parties reacted in any distinctive way differently to the gay and lesbian community?
Well, we are a nonpartisan organization.
Uh-huh.
But I would say that we have seen leaders on both sides of the aisle have stepped forward and said that it is not right to discriminate, it is not right to deny housing, it is not right to deny public access to commerce and trade in the state on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, and that's been prevalent on both sides. Having said that, it was the Republican-controlled Senate that by a supermajority voted to overturn the domestic partner benefits, and it was a block of Democrats that prevented that from happening in the House.
About a minute left. Are there any unique challenges then coming back to this, the growing number of same-sex couple households? Do they face unique challenges that other households may not?
Well, there's a variety of unique challenges. I'm not sure where to start with that question.
Can you give me like the one big challenge that they face that people may not consider? And
well, just in raising your children, most people in raising children get a variety of benefits from the government that you never think about, whether it's deducting on tax returns or it's covering your children with health insurance because your partner, your spouse, works for an employer that provides health insurance. So just taking care of children and getting the benefits that accrue to opposite-sex couples and their children isn't available to a same-sex couple.
Mm-hmm.
When you die, everything passes automatically to an opposite-sex spouse. But if you don't have a will, but in a same-sex relationship, even the wedding ring that you give to your partner goes to that partner's birth family as opposed to the partner.
Understood. Certainly, some real challenges and the growing number of same-sex couples here in Michigan. Denise Brogan-Cater, the Executive Director of Equality Michigan, thank you very much for joining me.
It's my pleasure, and I'm happy to do it anytime, Mike.
Excellent. We'll be right back.